there is a supernatural shifting of the atmosphere that can do something that music can't do and the anointing can't do and preaching can't do. So we yearn for this thing we call presence. I yearn for it. You yearn for it. We talk about it. Preachers use phrases like, you know, I feel the presence of the Lord. We say things like we want a visitation from God, or even like let's welcome God into the house tonight. We use those kinds of terminologies because we're trying to condition our minds to say we know that the presence of God is the beginning of something supernatural. But what Dr. Kilpatrick says is he says the presence of God, what we're calling the presence of God, is there to activate and unlock your anointing. So when you say, I mean, have any of you that's ever ministered before, have you been in those moments where you're preaching and you're struggling and then something just shifts and it gets easier and you know the presence of God is there. So the presence of God, the thing we yearn for and long for and reach for, unlocks our anointing. It activates the anointing in us. And everybody in this room is anointed for something. Every one of you. It's not a preacher thing. It's a body thing. It's the body of Christ. Every one of you have been anointed with the gifts of the Spirit. It was not given to the ministry. It was given to the body of Christ. So every one of you, there are people in this room that have the gift of healing. Some of you have the scary gift of discernment. And you wish you could give it away. Because it's not a fun gift to have. And some wish they had more discernment. So they need to be sitting by you tonight. So every one of them, and you know what happens when the Spirit of God begins to move and the presence of God comes in the room. Your anointing gets activated. Listen, I've prayed for, I don't even know how many, thousands upon thousands of people in my lifetime. And there are times that I'm just praying, saying, Lord, I'm praying by faith that you're going to heal them. But there are other times that the Spirit of God will come over me. And will you do what people call reading their mail, right? That's kind of a Christianese phrase that we use. But it really is like that. When that happens, I can tell you what you've come for. I can describe things to you that I have no way of knowing. There was a young lady one time that came up. I was preaching in Illinois. This lady came up, and that anointing was unlocked in me in that very moment. And I told this young lady, I said, I don't understand what this means, but this is what I see. I see a yellow house. It has siding on it, and there is a whale house in front of it, a whale. I say whale like well. I can't say it right. It's a whale house in front of it that has the same siding on it, same yellow siding as the house, and there's a Buick in the driveway. And I knew it was a Buick. And this girl fell down on the ground crying and crying. She said, I came here asking God for a sign that my parents would get saved because I'm so worried about them. And you just described their house and their car to me right here in this moment. And there's no way I could have had any way of knowing that. One night at Twin Rivers, it was a Wednesday night. I was the Wednesday night Bible teacher as well as the Sunday preacher. And I was just teaching on the Bible, and something happened. The presence of God came in the room. There was no one even playing. I had no musicians to back me up, but the Spirit of God. And I said, I need every single person in the room. And there must have been 50 to 75 single people that just lined up across the front. And I kid you not, every person I touched, I knew exactly what they needed. I knew exactly. And I saw God bring healing and deliverance to over 75 single people that night on a Wednesday night Bible study, because the presence of God unlocks the gifts of the Spirit and the anointing of God in me and in you. So that is why we long for the presence, because the presence of God unlocks the anointing that is in our life. But what I'm talking about is a shift in the atmosphere from a divine visitation to a divine habitation, where you are seeing the anointing operating, and then all of a sudden, God takes over the room, and you just want to step back and let him do what he wants to do. How many of you at OCI says, if God shows up, I just want to let God have his way and do what he wants to do? I don't want to get in the way. I just want God to do what he wants to do. All right, so I'm going to bring this in for a landing, but you have to go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. This is the first stage of seeing the glory. First stage. This is a story where Moses is asking for something greater. So here's the first thing that happens. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to start in verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So here's the first step. I want to see the glory of God. I've got to get off by myself, away from people, and seek the Lord. I want to see the glory of God. I can't just hitchhike my way on somebody else's prayer life. I want to see the glory of God. Moses said, Lord, it's too loud in here. I need to get off by myself. There's too many people talking to me. I need to get off by myself. There's too many people. I have too many voices in my ear. The first step is hunger. And the first step to hunger is, God, I want you so much. I want to get to where I can't hear anybody but you. I don't want to hear everybody else's voices. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to turn on my music. I don't want to listen to a sermon. Thank the Lord. I love to listen to sermons. I mean, I listen to them all the time. It's like one of my favorite things to do. But sometimes I don't need to listen to a sermon, and I don't even need to listen to a song. I need to listen for the voice of God. And there are times that you go outside the camp. So notice this. He called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. It was a meeting place where he went to regularly. Now, this next part is so important. Let me ask you this. Where's your place? Before I go there, where's your place? Where do you meet with God? Don't tell me it's on your drive to work in the car. That ain't working. Don't tell me it's in the I pray in the shower. No, you can pray in the shower, but that's not your secret place. You don't stand there long enough. No, that's not working. That's just a little tease. Where is your place? Where do you go? And if you don't know the answer to that, that's the first step for you seeing the glory of God. I need a place. And here's the next thing. Where's your time? If you just pray when you have time, you don't pray at all. I'm being honest with you. You just show up to prayer meetings and pray when everybody else prays. I'll tell you, I love global prayer. I love global prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a corporate prayer meeting. And you need the corporate anointing because you need the gifts of the brothers and sisters around you. That's a corporate. I'm talking about you by yourself in the Tabernacle of Meeting outside the camp with God. Where's your place? And where's your time? Because God's waiting on you there. And if you don't have a place and you don't have a time, then you're not going to go where I'm talking about tonight. Yeah, I've got kids. Listen, I've had kids for the last 40 years of my life. I got grandkids. I've got kids. I've worked three or four jobs. I'm a busy guy, and talk to the redhead. It's always been that way. I've been that way my whole life. But I have always made time for God. Always. I have a witness right here. She's watched me. She's been married to me for 40 years, and she can tell you that I give God an hour or two every day before I give it to anybody else, even if I have to get up early. If I'm on the road and I have to go in the bathroom of a hotel to kneel on my face before the Lord, time is not a good excuse. Family is not a good excuse that I don't have time for God. Job, not a good excuse. Okay, I'm not a morning person. That's okay. Are you a night person? I'm a morning person, so I give God the morning. If God said pray at 11 o'clock at night or 10 or midnight every night, I'd be the worst Christian in the world. I tell you what, I'd fall asleep every time I tried to pray. That is an hour where I turn into a pumpkin. I just can't do it. Even if I'm awake, I can't think. And some of you, it's like, man, that's when I get revved up. Give me a midnight hour, the midnight oil. That's your favorite oil. Not me, man. I like to watch the sun come up with Jesus every day. That's my vibe.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com. Or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Verse 9, we're still there, Exodus 33. And it came to pass, everybody say that with me, and it came to pass. Say it one more time, and it came to pass. What does that mean? That means he didn't just go one time. That means he went over and over. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and Moses and the Lord talked with Moses. Notice this, he went over and over and over and over. A few weeks ago, Clay texts me. He said, I got up this morning and he was waiting on me. I love it because that's my favorite time. When I get up in the morning and the Lord is waiting on me, and I walk into my prayer chamber upstairs in my office or out on my back porch, just according to what the weather looks like, and the Lord says, I thought you'd never wake up. I got so much I want to tell you today. And Clay texts me and he said, I know what you're talking about, because this morning I got up and he was waiting on me. I said, that's my favorite times. You know, we stand him up every now and then, don't we? Because he is waiting. This is my place and this is my time, and then we don't show up. Moses went over and over and over, not knowing when the glory would come. And it came to pass. I don't know which time it's going to take, but I'm going to keep going back and keep going back and keep going back. And it came to pass. Verse 11. So the Lord spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his young servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Now get this. This is so cool. He lets Joshua go with him. The glory shows up for Moses. And Moses leaves, and Joshua says, hey, I didn't get my glory yet. I'm staying. You got glory for your generation. I need glory for my generation. And I want to tell you, if I've ever seen anything right now, there is a hunger. There is a generation out there who will do whatever it takes to get in the presence of God. They are hungry for God because they have grown up without seeing some of the things that other people have seen, and they have lived in a country that has been upside down and an economy that has been unpredictable. They've lived in a world filled with disease and war, and they are tired of it, and they are ready to see something good happen. And I heard that football player today from Ohio State, when I was watching that, he said, my generation is tired and we want an answer. And guess what? I have found the answer, and his name is Jesus. I love that, man. I could have shouted when I heard him say that. That's why when the glory of God comes, you're going to see young people lined up to get in the building, and they're not going to be time restricted, and they're not going to be worried about if you sang the song too long, and they're not going to be worried about if they get in bed in time. They're not going to worry about those things. They're going to say, God, let your glory come down. Here's Joshua that says, I want what I saw Moses had. Moses, you had your moment with God, but I'm staying behind because I need my moment with God. Can I just preach here for a moment? Some of us, we have had prayer line after prayer line after prayer line. We have been laid down and picked up and laid down and picked up. We've gone to revival after revival after revival, but there is a generation. Maybe you don't need God as bad as you did at one time, but there's a generation out there that's waiting to see their first miracle. There's a generation out there that's waiting to see transformation. There's a generation out there that wants their daddy sobered up and their mom off of drugs. There's a generation out there that wants their brother and sister in church. They are hungry, they're broken, and the anointing, yes, we do everything we can in the anointing to reach them. We preach and we pray and we sing, but the Lord says, you've done well. Nothing's wrong with the anointing, but I'm about to come down and rock this world with the third flight of the dove. I'm about to come into the presence of this world, and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Who are you coming for, God? He said it in Psalm 24. more. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory is coming in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong, God Almighty. He is the King of glory. Who are you coming for, God? I'm coming for Jacob, the generation that praises me, the generation that seeks my face. Get ready, because your children and your children's children are about to get visited from heaven, and the glory of God is going to come down and visit that generation. Hallelujah. Joshua said, I'm staying behind. You had your moment, you had your glory, but I want to see glory for my generation. I got to hurry up here. Moses in we're still in chapter 33. Let's tip on down to verse 14. And he said, my presence will go with you. Yes, that will unlock your anointing. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then he said, if your presence does not go with me, I don't even want to go. How many of you feel the same way? I can't do this without you, Lord. If your presence doesn't show up, I don't even want to sing. I can't even lift my voice. If your presence here, forget the sermon, forget the song, forget the prayer time. We're just wasting time, and it's nothing but religion. But let your presence come in and activate my anointing. Let your presence come in and unlock something, a gift that you've placed inside of me. And he says, okay, Lord, but I've had your presence. You stood in the doorway. You talked with me face to face. I talked to you at the burning bush. I've had your presence. Is there another level of you that I haven't had? And he says, what do you want, Moses? He said, I want your glory. Show me your glory, Lord. I want to see your glory where I don't have to leave here wore out every time I preach. Give me your glory that I don't have to leave tired from the house of God, but I leave refreshed and I leave lifted up and I leave here differently because the glory of God comforted me and refreshed me. He wanted more. He wanted more. He wanted more. You know, there's a phenomenon right now on YouTube that I don't understand at all. I obviously don't watch it, but I know about it. It's where children are watching YouTube videos of other children playing with their toys. Have you ever heard of that? It's like kids will just sit and watch other kids play with their dolls and play with their toys. It's like, why would you do that? You have dolls, you have toys. Why would you watch other children play with their toys? Why would that be entertaining? And then I thought to myself, that sounds so ridiculous to me that a child would want to watch another child play as opposed to them playing themselves. But I've seen so many people that come to the church and they want to hear another sermon and they want to watch another podcast. And they want to hear another song. It is almost like we are watching God from a distance. We're watching God. We're almost like watching somebody else get blessed. And it's like, how many sermons can we listen to in a week? And I'm not down on that. Please don't understand where I'm going with this. But I'm tired of just watching. I want to get involved. I'm tired of just hearing what God is doing someplace else. I am hungry for a move of God that is unexplainable. I am hungry for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit that comes down and shifts the atmosphere. I don't want to settle for religion when I know there's more. I don't want to just settle for singing when I know there's more. I don't want to just settle for preaching when I know there's more. I want to see people coming in and walking out change. I want to see transformation. I want to see deliverance. I want to see whole. I want to see people leaving here whole. I love documentaries about revival. I love watching Azusa. I love the Tent Crusade. I love the Billy Graham sermons on TV. I love to read about the charismatic renewal. All of that refreshes my soul. I love an old sermon from an old Pentecostal camp meeting from a Ray Hughes or one of the great preachers of old. I love that. But I don't want to just listen anymore. I don't want to just watch anymore. I want to get involved. I want the glory. I need my own story. You need your own story. We need our own touch of God for our generation. Your children are hungry. Our children are hungry. I am ready to see the glory of God. I'm ready to see a college campus turned upside down. I'm ready to see a football team baptize people again. I'm ready to see people coming to God in a high school auditorium and on a basketball court. I'm ready to see God break out revival at the airport and at Walmart and in every arena. I want to see the prophecy fulfilled that said all of the major arenas in America will one day be filled with worshipers because the glory of God has come. I'm ready for it. I'm hungry for it. I want to see more.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.